Let's turn off our suit lights and go with night vision, I suggested.
Let's sit in this shaft until the rest of the team gets down here, Carlo said, voicing a reasonable counter-proposal. I shook my head.
Orders were to secure the LZ.
Yeah, right. But they aren't going to know what we did or didn't do.
I frowned at him. Carlos was never going to be Legion Varus's poster boy. Fine, I'll take a look around by myself. I nosed out of the shaft and aimed my rifle in a slow sweep while looking through the scope. I didn't see any movement, but I did see a lot of gravel and half-clogged tunnels. It looks like they've had some cave-ins or something.
Naturally, Carlos said.
He was right behind me, aiming his weapon the other way down the shaft. I glanced at him. I'd noticed that he never wanted to do anything adventurous, but if I did it first, he couldn't hang back. He had to come and look at whatever I was up to. I smiled to myself. Carlos hated to think he was being left out of anything. I guess there were worse traits in a soldier. The shaft opened into a tunnel that led to the right and left. We checked out the immediate vicinity, going no more than 20 paces in either direction. Carlos flipped on a pen light and it splashed on the walls. After a few seconds, he knelt and fished something out of the rubble. It was a fist-sized lump of reddish, translucent material. It looked like melted glass.
You know what this is?
He asked me in a whisper.
Junk?
No.
My HUD computer says it's pure ruby. About 1,000 carats worth. Would be even better if it was a red diamond. Those are the rarest kind, you know. A raw diamond this size is worth millions.
I aimed my snap rifle in his direction. I indicated he should toss the jewel down with the barrel of my weapon.
What's your problem? He asked me.
I don't have a problem. You're the one looking at permadeath for violating galactic export laws. He made a face and tossed the jewel aside.
You're no fun, he said.
We found nothing else of interest, so we flipped off our lights again and returned to the shaft. When we got there, we heard the rest of the team landing. The second we came around the corner, a half dozen rifles aimed into our faces. They had their lights on, and we didn't. They'd been making more noise than we were, and we'd come out of the dark quietly.
Report, recruits,
Harris demanded, lowering his weapon.
Nothing much. The tunnel runs at least 100 meters in both directions. It appears to be damaged or unfinished. No contacts, nothing.
All right, said the Centurion. We'll move out to the north. According to the map, that area is smaller. If we can clear it in an hour, we'll mark it safe and go south.
Excuse me, sir? Carlos asked. What exactly are we looking for, besides lizards, I mean?
You're looking for signs of a break-in. The miners reported seeing intruders in the middle levels of the mine. I personally find it unlikely they'd come in this far down, but we just don't know.
A break-in, sir?
As in a tunnel that has been recently dug to merge with these.
One last thing, sir, Carlos said. Have any of the other teams met up with the enemy yet?
Negative. There have been some reports of sightings, but they haven't panned out. People are shooting at phantoms up there.
I wasn't sure I believed him. Communications were far from perfect down here. Maybe some other group had run into something and been wiped out. But I decided not to argue about that. Instead, I lifted a hand. The Centurion nodded to me.
Are we going to divide up into 2-man teams, sir?
I asked, bringing up his initial plan. The Centurion directed his light out into the dark, forbidding tunnels. He shook his head.
I don't think so. We'll stay tight. It will take longer, but since the enemy hasn't been found yet, and we're the last ones to get started, we're going to keep all our firepower together. Now, team, if you do see a definite enemy down here, you have my leave to fire. We're going in hot. There is no legit reason why any innocent lizard would be down here at this point.
I was relieved to hear this. I checked my magazine, made sure there were no jams, and flipped off the safety. Without asking, Carlos and I headed into the tunnel and swung left. We both knew we were going to be on point until Harris had his share of our blood on his hands. There was no sense in pretending otherwise. As we moved forward, I couldn't help but notice Harris had taken up his position at the rear of the team. I shook my head. I guess he figured that the dinos would have to eat all of us first to get to him. We left the group behind again, and I realized Carlos and I weren't talking anymore. This place was creepy, and we both felt a bad vibe about it. I think it was the quiet. Our boots were the loudest things down here. We crunched on grit and heard water dripping somewhere. Everything echoed. We reached an area that was crisscrossed with tunnels that ran with wet, dripping walls. We began moving from intersection to intersection, staying in cover as much as possible. Carlos and I were leapfrogging from one corner to the next, walking with knees bent on high alert. Puddles of water sent up wisps of steam when our boots splashed into them. Carlos signaled me, and I rushed forward across an open side tunnel. As I passed by, I took a glance down that dank, rubble-filled tunnel. There was something down there, something inhuman. It was crouched over a lump on the ground, and appeared to be digging at it. I made it to the far side and threw my back against the tunnel wall. I signaled Carlos, indicating enemy contact. He followed our orders, withdrawing to the rest of the team who were about 30 meters behind us. That left me alone with an alien rooting around in the tunnel next to me. Quiet fell after Carlos was gone. It was too quiet, I decided. The enemy should have been making some noise, doing whatever it had been doing. I nosed around the corner to have another look. To my surprise, the alien was right there. It must have heard me as well, and had been stalking forward to investigate. I could see it clearly now, and knew it was a Saurian regular. They looked a lot like Juggers, but smaller, sleeker, and faster. What happened next surprised me. The Saurian lifted a round object. It had to be a weapon. Most of the enemies I'd dealt with on this campaign had relied on their teeth. A few had possessed advanced weapons, but most hadn't. I fired at him and missed. He ducked behind a spur of glittering rock. A flash of blue-white energy lit up the tunnel then. I saw the source clearly. He had a plasma grenade in his claws. All this happened in about half a second. I didn't bother to shoot at him again because there wasn't time. The grenade was already flying in my direction. I threw myself backward instead and around the corner from him. I landed on my back, rolled over onto my front, then began crawling away. The blue light built up behind me in a silent flare of energy. I kept crawling. Water splashed up and I could feel the heat of it through my gloves. I reached up and ripped away my night vision goggles. Then the grenade went off. Light filled the chamber. It was a quiet explosion, like a flash bulb as bright as a blue star rising behind me. The glare of it seemed to burn right through the back of my skull. I was lifted up and tossed forward. I felt as if a giant had kicked me right in the ass. 1,000 slivers shot into my skin through the smart cloth suit, stinging and making me hiss in pain. I knew what that was. I'd learned about it in training. Plasma grenades were weird. Instead of being an explosive wrapped in metal which turned into fragmentation, they picked up whatever was around them and shot it out in every direction. In this case, I was feeling bits of grit and probably even slivers of water from the puddles I'd been scrambling through. They'd been turned into tiny weapons, some of which had punctured my thin suit. Half blinded and in agony, I rolled back over and tried to get to my feet. I knew that the Saurian would be backing up its grenade toss by rushing in close. I made it up into a sitting position before the thing was on me. Its claws scrabbled as it eagerly charged and rounded the corner to face me. It scrambled close, making a grunting sound. Behind it, my team had their lights on. They were coming, but not fast enough. I knew I was going to die again. I can't explain how horrible that feeling is. It was worse this time than it had been the last. The first time you face death, you can deny it. You can pretend it isn't really happening. But not the second time around. I knew all too well what being savaged by a half-mad Saurian felt like. Their teeth were curved and sharp and numbered in the hundreds. I managed to get off a burst of slivers, but that was only enough to get the rifle slammed out of my hands. The thing's muzzle was lunging forward, dipping down. The jaws opened. A rattling cascade of fire came to my ears. I saw the Saurian shiver and lurch to one side. It fell heavily and struggled to get up. But before it could, the rest of my team closed in, pumping rounds into it. The tunnels rang with the snap and whistle of our rifles as we shot it again and again.